There we go. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Truth About Sales. We are at week number four. Check it out. We are a month in, and we're just, the first couple of weeks are doing a lot of setup, setting up some infrastructure, doing some admin, doing some discovery exercises. We're just kind of getting warmed up. And if I haven't shared this with you before, the class goes in a couple of sections. So we kind of wrapped up the first section. Now we're transitioning into a section of language tools and language techniques. And we're going to do this for a few weeks. And then we're going to shift into some response patterns that are bigger tools. And then we're going to shift into objection handling. And we have like five major sections. And we just wrapped up section number one. What else can I share with you? I am not in my normal office this week. I'm in my satellite office, and I was told on a call yesterday that my regular headphones were not working, my headset, so I'm on a different headset that's not noise canceling. So forgive me in advance. You might hear a little background noise today. I'm literally on the beach in Hawaii, so there's a street behind me and waves and people, and there might be a little bit of noise. I'll do my best to keep that to a minimum. What else? We are up to agreement today. Oh, man. Keep your seatbelts on and your hands inside the vehicle when we're moving. What we're doing today is really a foundation. My intention with this work is to have it grow the same way you learned your native language. So when you were a little kid, you started by mirroring and matching, mimicking your parents. And you started by doing a little vocabulary. And then you started by learning some phraseology. And then you eventually learned how to rationalize and get your way with your parents, right? So those tools come on slowly, a little bit at a time. We're doing exactly the same thing here in the structure of sales and influence and persuasion. So if it feels a little bit slow here in the beginning, it is. That's the plan. Trust me, it'll get tricky and complicated and heavy duty shortly. So before we jump into a bunch of new stuff, let's do a little check-in with some old stuff. So any thoughts about where we were last time, last week? Any ahas? Any breakdowns? So last week we did VAK style and we did level shifting. That's a really, really fun one. So questions, comments, ahas, crazy breakthroughs, interesting stuff. What did you get out of last week that you'd like to share with the rest of us? Questions, comments, anything. Star 6 on your phone will unmute you and pull you into the queue.
Sam Nealon, Southern California. Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sam. I can,
Hi,
loud and clear.
You? Okay, great.
Awesome.
And I'm glad
you.
You're on the beach in Hawaii. I'm stoked for you.
Thank you.
Okay. I will say, I don't know if this is a breakthrough or something amazing, but the rapport, the sense bias exercise and lesson that you taught last week by
yeah.
far has been the hardest thing so far for me to identify.
Yeah.
I was like really listening to people just for that. And I wanted them to say certain words so that it would like, I could check it off the list. Like, oh, you're visual. Oh, you're audio. It's
yeah.
really hard. That one's really hard for me.
Well, and I think one of the things that's challenging with that is most people aren't all one thing, right? I'll be talking to somebody, and they'll throw out something that's a little bit visual and a little bit kinesthetic. So it's not common for people to be 100% biased in one category. They might be a little of two things. It's okay. I just want to find their dominant one.
Right. So I'm still
yeah.
working on that. I Googled it. I looked for videos. You know, I was just like,
oh. Awesome. Well, and just let me give you the easy side of this, too, is even if you don't really get it, even if you don't really master it, totally okay. The goal here is to – I'm going to tell you – I don't normally say this in the class, but I'm going to tell all you guys anyways. Even if you don't get this exercise – so, Sam, if you completely missed it, it's okay. The question, Sam, is – did this cause you to listen more deeply to your clients? Did this cause you to tune in and focus more and really have your attention open to them?
Yes.
Completely.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Even if you, even if you missed the complete exercise, even if you didn't get a single person right, it's okay, because the goal here is to transform us from self-centered, egoic presenters to customer-centric listeners, supporters, service providers, right? Mm. This is really the key. And even if you get this wrong, it transforms us into people who listen. You've probably heard me say it here before. I'm going to say it lots more times. Is the number one complaint against salespeople across all industries is the salesperson didn't listen. That's it. So yeah. Even if you get them wrong, if you're transforming into somebody who's really listening to people, it makes all the difference. So good for you, Sam, for getting out there and doing extra and Googling. Bravo.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. And it'll get better. It'll get easier as we go. You'll start to catch them in the future. Cool. One other thing, a quick announcement. I got an email from Amy. Amy, that stuff should be in your email right now, right now, right now. It's in your email. Okay. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Paul Conti.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I was, this is really working really well now that you think about what you do. And I don't know if you, I sent you an email. I was in the hospital emergency room last week, same time this time, listening to this 1 hour thing. And so I was in the hospital for 4 days, and I had a lot of conversations with a lot of nurses, and it was amazing on how my conversation went with them and how they were just so freely, let me show you my kids. Oh, my gosh. It's like, you know, they were just falling all over it just because how I was getting into their mindset, into their life type of thing. It was fun. I had a good time and a good platform to test all this on. It was fun.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're out of the hospital and feeling better. And isn't that exactly what you want to happen at a listing appointment? Don't you want the customer, the client, to be excited to talk to you? Oh, let me tell you one more thing. Oh, my goodness, let me show you a picture of my kids. What you did, whatever it was that you did, you got them to open up. You got them to share. You got them to share personal things. You got them to want to talk to you. Isn't that the goal? When you go on a listing appointment, that's exactly what I want to have happen. I want them to open up. I want them to overshare. I want them to tell me everything. I want them to show me pictures of their kids, right? I might not need all that. The goal here, though, is I want them to feel comfortable enough to not protect themselves. That's it. They protect themselves. We make no progress. They open up and tell me everything. It's easy for me to help them. That's it. It's that easy. Great job, Paul. Great job. And I love hearing these wins. I love hearing, oh, I just did this one little thing, and look at this. Look at how well this worked. And we're just barely getting warmed up. Like, we haven't even got to the good stuff yet. We're still doing a little foundational stuff. So bravo, everybody. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Rick Dumont in Roseville.
Rick Dumont, the man, the myth, the legend. What's going on, Rick?
Just the myth. I've known this script for a long time, and but I never knew why we were supposed to say it. And now, after last week, I've realized how deep it really is. It really is very effective, because people
are
going to.
Which script
are
you referring to?
You know, the what if, you know, what's best about, or what'll happen. You know, there's all the things we went by last week.
Yeah.
And it just really brings the person out, and all of a sudden they're your friend, and it's really not about just using a script, but you really get quite personal with them, and you are their agent when it's over. So thanks. I really learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Great job. Yeah, I think what I just heard from Rick was, I'm going to say it a different way, but I love where he went with that, is most of us salespeople, most of us get really busy talking to people or talking at people. And the more you talk at people, you know, you talk at them and they talk at you, that's not super effective. What's really effective is a term that I like to use called enrolling. Right, I want to enroll them. I want to ask them questions. Oh, really? Well, tell me about that. What would that do for you? Oh, really? So I just want to, I want to let the conversation, here's the easiest way I know how to say that. I want the conversation to be over there with the customer. And most of us, myself included, the conversation's right here. Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I think. This is what I think we should do. Let me tell you how great I am. Let me tell you how many homes I've sold. If anything comes out of your mouth with "let me tell you," you're going down the wrong path, right? That's not the right path. A great path is, so what would that do for you? And what's important about that to you? Oh, really? Tell me more about that, right? I want it over there with them. Remember, the sale is always about the customer. Customer's always right. Doesn't have anything to do with you. Has to do with them. A conversation over there. So,
hey,
great,
this is
great
Maura
aha.
In Phoenix.
I'm sorry, this is who?
Maura in Phoenix.
Hi, Maura.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome, thank you.
Good. So I'm an ISA, and I'm very new to the industry. Last week, I feel like that definitely is a little bit of a roadblock for me. I'm very auditory, and it's kinesthetic is how you say it?
Yep, auditory, kinesthetic,
and
visual, yep.
Yes, and so those are, for me, definitely my traits, and I noticed that a lot in my conversation because I hear a lot of people who are visual, and there is a big disconnect that it made me much more aware of that disconnect I have with so many people that I talk to every single day. And once
yep.
I was aware of that and able to really like put my personality aside from that and see that about them, I feel like my conversations went longer. They were a lot better, and I just feel like I connected a lot more deeper with them. So I just
yep.
wanted to say that I really thought that was extremely helpful for the job that I do.
Bravo. Well, you know, the job that you do is no different than the job that a listing agent does, right? You have a different
right.
role. Your job is the same. Connect with people. See what they need and see if you can help them. You know, you have the same job the rest of us do. You just have a slightly
yeah,
different
I
role.
Yeah, I think my just... Yeah, exactly. I think my connection is just a lot more on like feeling, like how does that make you feel? And sometimes I've had conversations where I do, because that's how I am, you know, and I talk a lot about that. It's like, well, you know, is that stressful or how does that feel for you? And the people
who
are
very
visual.
Well, so that's going to work really well
visual.
If they're kinesthetic,
mm-hmm.
right? If they're highly
exactly.
kinesthetic and you say, oh my goodness, how does that feel for you? That's a home run. If they're highly kinesthetic and you say, how does that look? It looks stressful,
mm-hmm.
it looks painful, right? They're going to respond kinesthetically, even if you try to ask them something visually.
Right,
and
sometimes I get the response is like, I don't know what...
it works.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get a response even when I, you know, I'm talking about that and it's someone who is very visual that, like, I don't know what you mean. Like, what does that mean? And I've
yeah.
had that a lot. And so I'm like, oh,
yeah.
okay, now that rang a bell for me because they truly don't understand what I meant because I'm talking about feelings when they're thinking very visually about it. So it just
right.
was, it was
did,
great.
Hang on a second. Did everybody
helpful.
Else just hear what she said? Right. She started
yeah,
out.
Yeah, she just talked about marriage.
Yes.
Well, she also just
that
said,
is true.
She started this out saying, hey, I know that I'm very auditory. And she said, as I was talking to them, it really rang a bell for me. That they were
okay.
talking about feeling and I was talking about something else and we were a mismatch, that rang a bell for me, right? That's how an auditory person would respond. Whether it rang a bell in my head. I got it, auditory. So I think what's really brilliant about her position is she, Maura, has discovered her own bias, right? What's her bias? Her bias is auditory. It's not good or bad. It's just I bias to auditory. So now that you understand your bias, you know, have a whole new awareness that you speak from this platform of auditory. Your client may or may not. Bravo. Bravo. Wow, good. Really good ahas, everybody. Really good. Why don't we jump in and do some new stuff today? What do you think about that? So thank you all, especially extra special thanks for those of you that shared your ahas and your breakthroughs. I think that is the very thing that makes this class so powerful. Because you can, you know, I can blab on for an hour and fill the space, but I don't think that's good for everybody. What makes this class so dynamic and current is, you know, your real-time feedback and sharing your issues and role-playing out solutions. And so thank you, extra thank you for those of you that did that. And so I want to add one quick footnote is we're moving into the place now. We started last week, but we're really moving into the place now where your success in this work, in this class, is going to be dependent, like all things, on your habits. You can listen to me blab on for a week, for an hour every week, and, you know, hopefully you'll be entertained and hopefully you'll learn some stuff. And just like watching Kung Fu movies and Bruce Lee movies, you can watch 1,000 Bruce Lee movies and you're not going to be a Kung Fu master until you go to the gym and start working out and get on the mat and start doing it yourself. So my request for all of you is right now, as we're on the phone, as we're talking right now, if you haven't already done it, please, pretty please, time block, maybe 20 minutes a day in the morning to do your truth about sales exercises. That's it. I promise you, if you dedicate just 20 minutes, your close ratio will absolutely blow your mind in a couple of months from now. And what this requires is you to do some daily practice. That's it. So, again, I can't promise that what you're learning, this material that you're learning, is going to be easy or automatic. I can't promise that. I can promise, however, that when you're willing to commit to this training, you will absolutely have a breakthrough in your ability to communicate with others and your ability to inspire other people to want to work with you and how you show up for all these relationships. We are learning a new realm of communication, a new model of connecting with people. And today we're going to start with the structure of agreement. So let's do a little quick rapport theme and then some new agreement. So where's my notes? What are we doing for rapport theme today? All right, so last week we did VAK and level shifting this week. So consider that that we've been playing the rapport game since the beginning, right? If they talk really loud, we talk really loud. If they talk really quickly, we talk really quickly. Why? Well, we're getting in rapport. Well, what is rapport? Rapport is agreement. If somebody speaks really loudly and you whisper, you're out of agreement. On some unconscious level, subconscious level, we're telling them that, hey, talking loud's not okay. Shh, shh, shh. Hey. We're indoors. We're going to talk like this today. So while they might follow suit if it's appropriate, on some subconscious level, what we're really telling them is, hey, talking loud's not okay, rather than finding agreement. So language itself is an agreement. So that means the thing that you're talking on, we all have an agreement that the word phone represents that thing you're talking on. Now, each of us are talking on a phone that looks different. Some of us are on a little square metal and glass brick that's in your pocket. Some of us are on a big thing on your desk with push buttons. Some of you are on, you know, something in your car. Everybody's on a different phone, yet the word phone represents this thing. We have an agreement that the sound phone represents this machine that lets us talk to each other, right? Language itself is an agreement. We have an agreement that the word chair represents the thing you're sitting on. Now, those of you that are sitting, each of you are sitting on a chair that looks different than the other person's chair, yet we still have the agreement that this word chair represents that thing. Language itself is an agreement. So consider that all of us were born with an ego. The human ego, fragile as it may be, its job is to make you look good and be right. So knowing that looking good and being right is the innate duty of our ego for everybody, including you, including me, everybody. That tells us that this behavior, wanting to look good, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be right, wanting to be valid, wanting to be authenticated, this structure is present all the time for everybody, maybe not the Dalai Lama, all the time for everybody. And you know, so many conversations become contests to see who's right, or maybe one upsmanship to look good. Oh, yeah, you have that. Well, let me tell you what I have. You have a dog. Well, I have a dog, too. Let me tell you about my dog. My dog's name is Steve. Oh, you know, I have a friend named Steve. We went to school together. You went to school? Hey, I went to school, too. Right? People are just bouncing off each other, looking for places to find acceptance. And what happens when we fall into this loop and we get into the cycle of attempting to prove ourselves right? What are we actually doing? We are unconsciously proving other people's wrong. Right? If we go about attempting to make ourselves right inside that dichotomy, then by default, somebody is going to be wrong. And even if, this is my favorite example, was about realtors pricing homes. Even if you're right, we're going to get a lot more into this in the next couple of weeks. Either the customer says, you know what, I'd really like to get $650 for the house, and you're like, holy crap, are you kidding? This house is worth $450. Even if you can show them that $450 is the right, let me show you this comp, let me show you that comp, look at the dollars per square foot, this one sold, that one didn't sold. You might be right. In fact, you probably are right. However, if you prove, when you prove yourself right, you are unconsciously proving the client wrong. And even if you are right, usually you are, you're going to lose the relationship. So think about that. How many times have you gone on an appointment and you were right and you were honest and you told them the truth and you told them the right price and you didn't get the sale and they listed it with somebody else who overpriced it? All the time. By the way, whoever is shuffling boxes or something there, you're unmuted. Would you please take care of that for us? Thank you. Thank you. So be mindful about being right. Holy moly, this was a big, big lesson for me. So instead of unconsciously operating from this place of I'm right, let me show you I'm right, let me prove you I'm right, look at the numbers, I'm right, check it out, I'm right, which unconsciously makes other people wrong, what would happen if instead we worked on making other people feel good and feel right and feel validated around you? Right? What if you rose above this dichotomy? And instead of being in the tug-of-war of I'm right, you're right, I'm right, instead of that, what if you just give up and say, holy smokes, you are so right. Wow, you are so smart. Wow, that's a good answer. How did you come up with that? What if instead you focused on making the customer feel good? What if instead of letting our ego run the show and unconsciously speaking to look good or be right, what if we gave this away as a gift to others? What about that? So we're going to start by doing a little process that I like to call agreement. Sound like a theme for today? So agreement. How do we find a place where the client, we can always have the client show up to be right? How do we do that? Well, let's see, my things are, for some reason, a little out of order. So we're going to start by learning a process called tie-down questions. And they're also known, if you Google this and do your own research, they're sometimes also called tag questions. So they're really simple. So when the client says something when you say something and we want to just build agreement, one of the easiest ways to do that is with a tie-down question. So a tie-down question is short. And they're usually at the end of some sort of a statement. And the tie-down questions, there's a big list of them on your thing. I think it's about page 3 or 4. It says things like, won't that be great? Don't you agree? Doesn't that make sense? Okay, right? Yes? So notice there's no object, right? There's nothing significant. There's no object. The entire goal of this is simply to create some agreement. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. So the goal with the tie-down question is to generate agreement. And usually that agreement is going to be silent or subconscious or not audible, whatever. So if we're saying something to a client and they go, look, we want to be in December. We want to be in Denver by March. We'd like to be in Denver by March. And we say, oh, I got it. So you'd like to be, let me make sure I got that right. You want to be in Denver by March. Is that right? And they go, oh, yeah. So the goal here is simply to generate some yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Uh-huh. It does. Well, in order to get you to Denver by March, we're going to need to have the house probably listed in February, right? Well, yeah, that, uh-huh, yep. So the entire goal with the structure is, does that make sense? Uh-huh. You want that, don't you? Uh-huh, I do. So a couple of really little baby examples. Then I'm going to mix a few things together. It'll get fun here in just a minute. So the examples are, you definitely want me to get you the most money for the house, right? Yeah, right. So listen to this sentence. Don't listen to the way it's written. Don't look at the way it's written. Just listen to the way it delivers. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the house, right? They go, yeah, we definitely want that. What are they saying yes to? Are they saying yes to the most money possible for the house? Yes, they are. There's also an implied yes to, you definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the house, right? You want the most money, right? Yes, I do. So I'm generating agreement on most money possible, and I'm also getting an implied agreement on, you want me to do it for you. So look at how much agreement we're generating with that little, I'm just saying, you want that, right? Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, how about this example? Now, this one's a negative example. Now, we're both going to say no, but we're going to say no together because we're still in agreement. Now, you don't want to leave a bunch of money on the table, do you? And they go, no. And I'm saying, no, I don't want that either. No, uh-uh. So even though it's a no, it's no together. We're still saying no together. And more agreement. You don't want that, do you? No, me either. Right? Even more agreement in the negative. How about one for all of you? You're committed to grow your business, aren't you? Well, yes, I am. Great, then you should probably take this class 3 or 4 times. By the way, the record number is 8 in a row. I had somebody take this class with me 8 times in a row, back to back to back to back to back. His business went berserk. He had a problem hiring because he couldn't keep up with it at all. All right, so are you guys getting this? Let me rip through these examples real quick just to get them out of the way. So when you take out the garbage, the kitchen will smell better. Won't that be great? Yeah, that'll be great. The kitchen smells terrible now. A little civil rights one. The more that you exercise your rights, the more we'll be securing them for future generations to come. Isn't this what you want for your kids? Yeah, that's definitely what I want. How about a little self-talk? Every time I pick up the phone, I'm one step closer to achieving my goals. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, that's really exciting. So notice that this tie-down question does a few things. It generates agreement right out of the gate. Yes. It enrolls the client into the conversation. Most of us, myself included, most of us talk too much. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, let me tell you this and let me tell you that. And if we do this and look at this price and look at that price and what if, let me show you this other home I sold, right, which totally becomes a monologue, not a dialogue, a monologue. So the first step in overcoming that monologue is to start to enroll the client with tie-down questions. Does that make sense? Yeah, that does make sense. And you want to be there by March, right? Yes, I do. Great. And you'd like me to help you get you as much profit as possible from the sale. Is that correct? Yeah, that's right. So just putting a few tie-downs in, see how much it enrolls the client in the process. Right? I want them involved. All right, questions, comments, anything about that?
Sam, LA.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, I have a quick one. So,
please.
And I think I might know the answer, and all that was awesome, but not but, and.
And.
Okay, so here's the deal. I do a lot of referrals with past clients who are now in different states. And it's a lot of text messages and emails, you know, because they trust me and they're like, hey, do you know anyone in Tennessee or whatever. And so I'm just thinking about the few that we did this weekend and thinking about how I could incorporate tie downs. And I know that it's ideal in person, you know, voice to voice at a minimum. But I'm also wondering, is there value in putting it even subconsciously like in print, like at the end of that, like, so you want to be there by the end of May, right? In the text message, do you think that has any value? Should I be working that?
Sure. Sure. I think it's going to be as most of the techniques here. I think they work. This one will work better in a live conversation.
Sure.
Asking a question via text is a like 2-3 step process, but certainly you could. You could say, "Hey Sam, I want to make sure I want to make sure I got this right. You want to move to Tennessee, and you'd like to be there by June. Is that right? Right? I want them to say yes, yes, that's exactly right. But one of my goals, we'll get to it in a few weeks, is to see how many times I can get the customer to say yes during a listing appointment.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We'll get there in a couple of weeks.
Even in the written, I wasn't thinking like pause and wait for them to answer in text. I was thinking just kind of planting it in their mind, right? And their self are saying yes.
Sure. So you could certainly just implant that even if they don't respond. So I want to make sure I got this right. You're moving to Tennessee. You'd like a 5-bedroom house on at least an acre, and you'd like to be there by April. Is that right? Sure, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Right? Some sort of thing. So some sort of thing, because what I really want is I want the conversation to come back to me in the affirmative. I want some agreement. Yeah, that's right. We're really excited about that. Oh, my God, that's going to be so amazing, isn't it? Right? I want to keep enrolling them into the conversation so I'm not just talking the whole time.
Right. Okay.
Helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I know the intention is voice-to-voice and in live, and I totally am on board with that and want to excel in that. I'm just also thinking of these other, you know, streams that I function in that are good income producers, but how could I make them even more solid, you know?
Yeah. So this, you kind of triggered a thought for me that I usually get this question a few times in the class, and I think it's a perfect time to share it, is people ask me all the time, like, hey, when this happens, which technique should I use? Where should I use this one? Where should I not use that one? So I don't really know what the answer to that question is. What I can tell you, however, is like my friend, I have a friend who has 5 black belts. 5. He's got a black belt in karate, in kung fu, in sistema, in jiu-jitsu, and in saosu. 5 black belts, one guy. He is unbelievable. And when I watch him train, he trains in these very structured, rigid techniques, very structured. However, when he and I are hanging out, you know, when he's not looking, I'll trip him or tackle him or just to see how he moves. And the guy flows like water. And nothing is rigid. Nothing is structured. So what I've learned from watching him is just practice. And practice these tools and techniques, and then eventually this will just become the way in which you speak. So I'm not exactly sure the perfect place to put a tie-down question. However, when you practice, and these become your new model of communicating, they'll just flow out of you because this is how you talk. So the more you practice, the more this will just become your innate language, and you'll just put them in the right place automatically because it'll just be intuitive eventually.
Hey, Joel?
Yes.
Hey, John Asbell here from Florida.
Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome, thank you.
So based on what you just said, let's just say I'm using a tie down and say, you know, so Joel, you're telling me that if I practice this every week, this will become natural, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Right? Good. So in a conversation with a client, there'd be a difference between, and we've not talked about tonality yet, but I'm sure you're going to get to it at some point.
Yep.
But there's
going to
be
yep.
a difference between you do want to sell your house, don't you, versus you do want to sell your house, don't you?
Sure.
Can you talk
so,
a little
fact,
bit about that?
Yeah. So let's talk about that right now. So what he's talking about is I don't know if this is the right name. It's what I call them, the difference between an authentic question and a rhetorical question. For example, when you say to your children, do you say to your children, you're going to clean your room, right? Or do you say, you're going to clean your room, right? Right. One of those is a real question. Are you going to clean your room? You're going to clean your room today, right? That's uncertainty. Actually, that we're going to dig into this a little bit deeper next week. But that's uncertainty. You're going to clean your room, right? Uncertainty versus you're going to clean your room, right? Confidence. So, again, Jonathan, that's an intuitive thing. What space are you in with your customer? You know, I might say something like, if it comes to price and money and profit, I might say, I might be rhetorical when it's a silly question like, you're not willing to leave any money on the table, are you? No, no, of course not. Versus when I have a real question like, should we put the house in the market today or would Monday be more convenient for you? Which of those is better for you? Right? I really want them to think and process and decide. So it's a real question. Versus kind of a rhetorical question. You want as much money as possible for the house, right? That one, I'm just digging for some agreement. I know they want as much money as possible. You feel the difference in those two, Jonathan? Is that helpful?
Yeah, I do. The question was what you said was like when you want to use them because they could feel abused that you're being cynical, or they could, you know, I mean, some of that
well,
could
sure.
be construed.
Sure. So you could certainly use this inappropriately, right? You could say something like, clearly you want to hire me to list your home, right? Well, you know, that's not going to work, right? Because now I'm assuming, of course, they're going to want to use me to list their home. So in that context, I mean, you're going to hire me tonight, aren't you? Well, that's a little conflictual. That may not fly versus you want as much money as possible, don't you? Yes, yes, I do. Great, then we should probably get the thing on the market right away. Does that make sense? Now, I really want them to think and answer when I say, does that make sense? Notice it goes up. Does that make sense? Yes, I want them to answer, yes, that makes sense to me. Or they might say, no, that doesn't make sense to me. Okay, good, then let's talk about it. Let's attack it from another angle. I want this to make sense to you. So does that make sense? And I'm either going to get a yes or a no. Great. That tells me which direction I'm headed. I just want to be mindful. Jonathan brought up a really good point. Be mindful I'm not willing to paint anybody into a corner. So I'm not willing to badger people around and say, well, you're going to sign with me tonight, right? No, it's not about you. That's making it about you. That's pushing them into a corner, but you're going to get resistance. Thanks for bringing that up, Jonathan. Great point. Great point. All right, we have one more thing to cover. Questions, comments, anything before we jump into another thing? Awesome. All right. So that was tie-down questions, right? Easy, simple, easy practice. Get in the habit of using them. Put them all over the place. Thing number two we're going to do today is called pacing statements. So what is a pace or a pacing statement? What is that? Well, a pace is something that you know to be true for your client. You know it's true. I don't say this a lot, but for the sake of this class, because we're on the phone and I'm making them up, anything that starts with you told me is a pace, right? You told me you want to move to Tennessee. Yes, I did. You said you'd like to be there by April. Yes, I did. What am I doing? I'm just repeating back stuff that I already know. I'm just telling them things that they already told me. Right? You have 5 children. Yes, we do. And you're pregnant with twins. Yes, we are. And clearly you need a bigger house. Yes, we do. So what is this? I'm literally just repeating back to the client things that I know are true for the client. How do I know they're true? Well, either they told me or I asked a question and they answered the question, which forces me to listen. I gotta listen. Or if it's something that's just so obvious that you can't possibly miss it or it's a universal truth, like today's Thursday. Right? It's already February. That's true for everybody, no matter who you say it to. You have 5 children, only true for those that have 5 children. You're pregnant with twins only if they told you they're pregnant with twins. Right? Oh, my goodness, you're pregnant with twins. And she says, I'm not pregnant. What are you talking about? Right? That's a bad mistake. That's a bad mistake. So a pacing statement is whatever is true. So these, I can't generally do this in the first 5 seconds of a conversation because I don't know what's true for them. Yet after talking for a bit and finding out what they need, I might say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, whatever. Let me make sure I got this straight. You'd like to buy your first house. Uh-huh. You're pre-qualified to $400,000, and you'd like to buy a single-story house on the south side of the river. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So what happens between the ears of the client when we do this? Like, put yourself in the shoes of the client. All right, you're the client. All right, let me make sure I got this straight, Mr. and Mrs. Client. You're pre-qualified to $450,000. Assume that's true. Uh-huh. Yep, I am. That's true. And you'd like a single family, single story home. Mm-hmm. You'd like it on the south side of the river. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be your first home. Uh-huh. So notice between the ears of the client, as we're pacing them, the client has no choice other than, yep, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why? I'm saying things back to them that I already know are true. The only option they have is agreement. So how do you know what things are true? I don't know. Ask a lot of questions. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, really lovely to meet you. I'd be more than happy to help you. I want to make sure that we're going in the right direction. Can you share with me a little bit about, you know, you're inviting me over here to sell the house. Where are you going? What's important about that to you? What would that do for you? Ultimately, what would that mean for you? Great. What's significant about Tennessee? How did you choose that place? Roughly, what do you think this, your current house, roughly, what do you think this thing is worth, roughly? Great. And roughly, how much do you owe on it? Okay, do you have any other finance? Just the first loan? Great. Okay, so you think it's, let me make sure I got this straight, right? And as I repeat it back, think about what happens to the buyer. Let me make sure I got this straight. You want to sell this house, mm-hmm. Move to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We think this house is worth about $450,000. Mm-hmm. You owe about $150,000. Mm-hmm. And you'd like to be there by the middle of April. Mm-hmm. Did I get all that right? Uh-huh. Great. On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of shape's your house in? Well, it's a 9. Great. What would it take to make it a 10? Carpet. Okay, great. So your house, with carpet, your house could be a 10. Uh-huh. Notice, I'm just literally repeating back what they gave to me. Now, this might seem silly. This might seem juvenile. This might seem pedantic. However, what does it really do? Remember, what's the number one complaint against salespeople? Salesperson didn't listen. So not only does this force you to listen, it demonstrates back to the client that you were listening. You have to listen to catch these. You have to ask. You have to listen. You have to absorb. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to do this. And what does it do to the client? Uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, that's right. Wow, holy smokes. Somebody's actually listening. They're actually paying attention to me. That sounds like his agent actually cares what's up for me. This is one of the key mechanisms to help make the conversation client-centric. Why is that important? Because your competition, the other agents that are going on that listing appointment back-to-back with you, your competition is saying, let me tell you how great I am. I've sold more houses. Hey, here's a picture of me and my dog. Let me tell you about all the houses I've sold. Here's a picture of me and the president, and here's the plaques that I got. Let me tell you how great I am, and let me tell you what I'm going to do. This is why I'm right. The $450,000, well, let's take up the numbers. Let's let the numbers decide what's right. Let me prove to you why I'm right. That's what your competition is doing. How do I know that? Because that's what I used to do when I was not selling very many houses. All right, so let's see, listening example. So is there, I really like this one. This is in your notes. What about a person who agrees with everything? What do you think of this person? Uh-huh, yep, oh my God, that's amazing. Oh, sure, yeah, like a yes man. What do you think about that? Is there a special name for that person, like a kiss or something? So I don't want to agree with everything. I just want to agree with what's true. So now let's talk a little bit about blending pacing statements and tie-down questions together. So where this gets really powerful is pacing statement, say a pace, then tie it down. And then one quick note I wanted to make about the tie down questions is I don't want to agree. I want to agree with them where I can. I want to agree with them where it's authentic to me. Now, I'm not willing to agree to things that I don't agree with. If they say, well, our house is the best house on the street, and it's clearly not, what do you do about that? Well, I want to agree with them, but I don't want to authenticate a position I don't agree with. That's not in integrity. That's not authentic. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, well, I think it's awesome that you love your house so much, and, you know, let's take a look at what else is on the street. Let's see if that's true. That's great. Yeah, your house. Yes, your house is beautiful. Right? So I want to agree where it's true and authentic for me. All right. So how do we blend a pacing statement and a tie down question? How do we do that? Well, that might be something like, let me make sure I got this right. You told me you need a 5-bedroom house, right? And you told me your new job starts in 60 days, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And you only owe $150,000 on this house. Is that correct? Yeah, that's true. And this house has a new roof, a new kitchen, and a new HVAC system, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So what are we doing right there? Pace, tie down, pace, tie down, pace, tie down, pace, tie down. So just for fun, I think there's a little blank space just beyond that for you. Just for fun, what are some paces that you could use that you could say, and if you're feeling frisky today, you can do a pace and a tie down. What are some paces that you could use for an expired listing? Now, you don't have to know everything. What do you know for sure? You're calling expireds. Ring, ring, ring. Hello. Yeah. Hey, I'm calling about 1234 Main Street. Yeah. What about it? Right. You got this guy on the phone. What can you say to this expired seller that would be a pace? What do you know for sure that's true?
You've been getting a lot of calls, haven't you?
Very likely. I'm going to say that's probably a 90%. If you call in the first 5 minutes, it goes expired, maybe not. But anytime after the first 5 minutes, yeah, that's going to be true. Especially if they're frustrated. If they sound upset and frustrated, it's probably a good guess. If they're rude to you, it's probably a good guess that their phone's been blown up. And did everybody catch that pace? He also set a pace and a tie-down. You've been getting a lot of phone calls, haven't you? Well, yes, I have. So what did that just do? It authenticated the seller. Oh, goodness, you've been getting a lot of phone calls. Right now you're on their side, and haven't you? Well, yes, I have. And now the seller's responding in the affirmative. Look at how quick that changed turned the tables. Anybody else? What else can you say for an expired? Maybe not in the first 2 seconds, but what else do you know for sure is a pace for an expired? Anybody?
Joel Allen from Madison.
Hey, Allen.
So your house was on the market for X number of days, wasn't it?
Very good. I see the house was on the market for 6 months without selling, wasn't it? Yep. Wow, I see the house was on the market for 6 months, had two price reductions, and it still didn't sell.
Yeah, right, a simple one is just, so your listing expired, didn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, you must know that your listing expired, don't you? That's why your phone's blowing up. Good. Okay, how about for sale by owner? What are some paces and or pace tie downs that you could use for a for sale by owner? Like what? What's the most obvious one of the bunch? How about you're attempting
your
to
home
sell
expired.
On your own? Well, Hank, yes, your home expired. How about for a for sale by owner, for a FSBO? What's a super obvious pace for a FSBO? You're attempting to sell it yourself, aren't you?
Well, yes, yes, I am.
Notice I didn't say you're selling it yourself. You're attempting to sell it yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You're asking for 50. Your house is that blue one on the corner of 3rd and Main. You've been attempting to do this on your own for 3 months, haven't you? Yep, yep. Notice I'm kind of forcing the client to be, The client's really got nowhere to go besides agreement. Which is, in my opinion, the beginnings of our conversation. I want agreement. How about for a buyer? What kind of paces could you deliver to a buyer? Like what? Well, you're pre-qualified for XYZ. You're pre-qualified for this many thousands. Great. You told me this is your first house, your second house. You said you'd really prefer a two-story with a pool. You told me under no circumstances, no shake roofs, anything but a shake roof. Whatever they tell you. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever they tell you. You're pre-qualified to 450, and you'd like to close escrow sometime in the next 45 days. That means we better get cooking, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Here's the fun ones. How about what kind of paces could you use for your family, for your partner, for your spouse, for your kids? What about something like that? How about a pace or a pace tie-down for the family or for the kids?
You guys want to spend time together, don't we?
Yeah, we want to do some fun stuff together, don't we? Yeah, I definitely want that. You promised to clean your room this week, didn't you? Awesome. So this is the practice this week. So at the beginning of the, near the beginning of the call, I gave you my strongest recommendation to time block sometime 20 minutes a day. If you are willing, let me say that again. If you are committed to having a real breakthrough in this work and in your sales ratios, then time block 20 minutes a day to do this work. And what this work is this week is for you to literally write sentences. Why? Because it fills in our VAK. As you write sentences, you're physically writing. That's kinesthetic. You're seeing what you're writing. That's visual. As you're writing, you're saying, you told me you want a five-bedroom house, comma, didn't you, question mark. You're saying it out loud in your head as you're writing, right? You're thinking it. That's auditory or maybe auditory digital. So as you practice these things in multiple categories, which is writing these sentences, it's the fastest, shortest, quickest way to learn. So my request is that you write 10 of these per day, a pace tie-down. So what does that look like? I don't know. You start and pick a category. Which category do you pick? Whatever's most important for you today. Tomorrow it'll be different. Let's say today you have a couple of listing appointments. Then you should do them all on listing appointment. You invited me over because you need to sell the house, didn't you? Yep, I did, and yes, I do. And you told me you'd like to get $550 for the house, right? Yep, that's what I said. Let me make sure I got this right. You want to sell this house and buy a bigger one on the beach in Hawaii, right? Yes, we do. Great. And this house is worth about $550, and you owe only about $150, correct? Yep, that's correct. What, like, feel how this is just this. What if this was your listing appointment? Mr. and Mrs. Seller, look, I want to make sure I'm on the right page. Let me make sure I got this right. We spoke on the phone the other day. I want to make sure I'm on the same page. So you want to sell this big house, uh-huh, and you want to move to Hawaii, uh-huh, and we think this house is worth about $550. That's right. And you only owe about $150,000. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And the goal is that you'd like to be in Hawaii by April. True? Yeah, that's true. Great. And if we got you there a little sooner, that would be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
But look at how good this is going already. I haven't even started yet. I'm just getting up to speed with what they want and where they're going and what that looks. That's it. All right, we are just a few minutes to the top of the hour. Questions, comments, examples, ahas, role plays, anything, anything. What do you need?
Yeah,
how can I help? Where are you stuck? Yes?
This is Rick Dumont in Roseville, California again. Can you just give us a quick example of a recruiting pace and tie down?
Are you recruiting for your brokerage, or are you recruiting, are you hiring for your team?
Oh, boy. For the brokerage.
Okay. Then what do you
–
go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, bringing agents into your line.
Yeah. So, first of all, there are some things that I can say that are universal to everybody. Like, wouldn't it be great if you had the best support in the industry? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be amazing. So that's kind of universal, but that's predicated on that they know that your brokerage has the best support, which I think, personally, Keller Williams does have the best support. But I don't know that everybody knows that. So what's true for that particular client, I don't know. We have to talk a little bit. So after talking, I would find out what's true for that client. And let's say, for example, you go, hey, tell me about your business. Well, I've been with C21 for 5 years, and I sold 5, and then 10, and then 15, and then 20, and then 25. So I'm adding 5 transactions a year to my production. I'm doing pretty good. Great. And how much of the, you know, you sold 25 last year. What's your, what's your fee split? And how much of that did you get to keep? Right. So I need to know a little bit about them. Then, once I know a little bit about them and what they want and where they're going, then it's easy to say it would make a difference for you if instead of selling 25 and keeping 64%, what if you just sold the same 25 and kept 84%? Would that be a better move for you? That'd be amazing for me. Okay, and what if there was a model and system in place that instead of adding 5 deals per year, you could add 10 or 15 deals per year? Growing your production like that would be a huge breakthrough for you, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be huge for me. And having 24-hour support, and even maybe not 24 hours, but having 7-day-a-week support and weekend support, that would be helpful so you don't drop the ball in any place you get stuck. Would that be good for you? Yeah, that'd be great for me. How about being on a team like mine? Right? What if you were a buyer's agent on my team for a few years? My last buyer's agent did 50 sides. 50! That's a little over 4 a month. So even at a different split, if I could help you close 50 a month, would that be, that'd be great practice for you, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be amazing for me. And what if you got 50% of 50 sides? Because last year you got 64% of 25 sides. 50% of 50 sides is a much bigger number, isn't it? Yeah, that's a much bigger number. I don't know, something like that. Was that helpful, Rick?
Yeah, perfect. Great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, examples, ahas, scenarios, role plays, anything? Love letters, hate mail, whatever you have. All right. According to my clock, we are top of the hour. So thank you all for being here. I hope this was helpful. And
hey, Joel.
We're kind of at the end of the easy stuff. So be prepared. Next week, we're kind of turning the gas up a little bit. Yes, that sounded like Paul.
Yeah, the recordings, I wanted to review the recordings. How do we get back on the site to get that? I got all the – PDF.
Yes. We had the marketing team did some marketing thing, and they had so much action that they crashed the site. And the site was down for a long time. And all that has been fixed as of yesterday or the day before. So the site's up. You should be getting an email every week, usually the day of or the day after the call, saying, hey, here's the link to the recording. You can go back through your emails and find the link to the recording. You should have access to the site to get on and listen to the recording. And while the site was down for quite some time, it's all back up now. And if you're lost, if you're stuck, if something's not working for you, he'll probably kill me if he hears me do this, yet you can email the marketing guy directly. His name is Ryan. And Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at mediumraremedia.com. Ryan at mediumraremedia. If you send me a request, hey, Joel, I need this, I can't get on, I'd send it to him, and he deals with it anyways. So all that stuff should be fixed and online now. If you can't get online, you can't get access, fire us an email, we'll get you in. Cool. I think that's it. We are dead top of the hour. So as usual, thank you all for being here. Thanks for being committed to this work and raising the bar of salespeople all over the world, starting with you. And we'll talk to you all next week. We're kind of jumping into the deep end of the pool next week. So practice, be ready, and we're going to turn on the gas next week. So that's it. Talk to you all soon. And how do I do this?